Welcome back to Coffee, Cults, and Empires. I'm your host, The Intern. I realized that I hadn't updated y'all on the Rosie from Accounting situation recently, but really, it seems like there isn't much to update at this point. Everything is just sort of chugging along as it has been, and I haven't heard anything that makes it seem like they're shutting anything down anytime soon. Let's not get complacent, though. Thank you all so much for continuing to use the Petrie People hashtag. It, like, literally means the world to me to see so much support. And we might even be touching the hearts of management. Last episode had me wishing that I could solve problems like Eureka's does again. If only we could turn management's birds to our side. Wait, what are management's birds in this metaphor? The point is, Eureka's has bird friends now, and Georg and Rufford are off to do something involving Beeb's place, which they're hoping will placate the captain. As always, I'm sure it'll be fine.
I only clap for Eureka's.
Oh, wow. Having an identity crisis.
Who is this harmony? I know not.
Can't tell if I'm offended or flattered.
She shows up pretty much every game, you know.
I'm trying to be in character, guys.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry.
Acting. You wouldn't know about it.
Yeah, Don specifically does not, but we won't get into that.
I like to think I'm a really good actor.
Even though you failed the class.
I mean, and a lot of push-ups.
Usually if you're good at it, they don't put remedial in front.
I was just so good at it. They had to put remedial in front. Otherwise, everybody else would look bad.
Sure.
Not sure how that works, but okay.
It works. Okay. Try save my ego here.
Okay, Rufert and Georg are heading out of the hotel and off on their mission to smooth things over with Beeb.
Yeah, so I'm real excited that Georg is coming with me.
I get worried when you get excited.
Yeah, you should. Everybody should be afraid.
Proper response to the situation.
Georg's also pretty excited because Beeb is really good with food. And I think if we can fix up Beeb's shop, he's going to give us, like, some food.
So the first thing I do is start, like, doing an impression of sneaking. I'm not really sneaking. I'm just pretending I'm in an action play or, you know, I'm, like, looking around corners all dramatically and gesturing that you should follow me. And I'm going completely the wrong way for Beeb because I'm headed to try and find the captain.
Okay. So, Georg also, like, he's going to take your lead, right?
Excellent.
And crazy thing, I rolled disadvantage on stealth, right? But the first roll was a 20, and the second roll was a 2.
We two, the least stealthy people in the world.
Here's what I'm thinking. Georg is pretty convinced he's stealthy, and he's like tiptoeing as his whole armor thing is shaking, so what you hear going through is like ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. What are we sneaking from? Like way too loud.
Like as one of the staff walks by and like looks at us.
Yeah.
I'll like give them a gesture of like shh. It's a secret.
Their eye contact is only enough to convey that they are part of the hotel staff, and they are there if you need anything, but you notice that this one perhaps lingers a little bit less than other ones might.
Because we're not anywhere we're not supposed to be yet, right? We're just walking down the hallway.
But walking down the hallway weird.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to turn over to Georg, and I'm going to say, yeah, we're not going to go see Beeb. We're going to go see the captain, and we're going to put them on ice.
Oh, so, like, we're going to go put ice on there. Are they injured? Do they need some help?
No. We're going to help them go west on Northbridge.
Yeah.
I'm going to like give you a very significant look, like, you know.
Go. Hold on. I used to do that a lot. I'd jump off and do a nice little swim before going back to my coffee shop.
So at first, I think I know that you've got what I'm talking about, because you're talking about like swimming and I'm like talking about drowning people, and that's probably related. But have I seen you do that?
I mean, unless you visited my coffee shop kind of late and you saw me closing up shop.
Yeah,
and
no, I probably wouldn't have then. Never mind.
Leave my armor in the shop and then jump off the bridge to swim back to shore. I might have told you a story about a particularly big fish that was probably not true.
Okay, so I think you're with me. I think you understand that we're going to go kill the captain. So we continue sneaking.
I know. It's been about like... 30 seconds or so, Georg's been thinking about it. He's like, so I know, swimming in the sea is therapeutic and all. Where are we going to get seawater?
I'm doubly confused, one, because I truly don't know where the captain has gone. Like, there's no footprints I'm following. And I'm just walking down these hallways and being like, they're probably around here somewhere. And then, yeah, you give me this question about seawater. I'll roll some dice. Let's see if I can sort out what's happened. So on a 16, I'm going to say that I actually figure out that, no, you still don't know what's going on. So I'm going to think real hard and I'm going to spell it out for you. No, we're going to.
All right.
We're going to go see the captain.
Yeah. Instead of Beebs.
So that we can give them a decaf.
Give them a decaf.
Yeah. Give them a permanent decaf.
Whoa, you can't just talk about giving a decaf. You know what kind of thing that does to people.
Yeah, that's what we're doing. That's what we got. We got all this heat on us. If there's no the captain, then there's no problem.
So first you talk about the ice, and now you're talking about heat? You know, I get an ice pack and I get a heat pack. I don't get this whole decaf thing. Are you saying that we should fill it up but with like some really bad coffee?
No. We're going to go kill the captain. We're going to go kill them.
Oh, no. Stop it.
What do you mean, no?
Yeah, a cold compress, a nice little bit of heat patch with some, I'm going to use decaf. I don't care what you say. What's wrong with you? We can't just go around icing people.
You're right. We'll probably get caught.
Yeah.
That waitstaff saw us, and then we'd have to kill them. Get really complicated.
Also, it's wrong.
I say as like perhaps another waitstaff walks.
This is like just the perfect moment because you think that I'm only saying it because the waitstaff is walking by.
I'm like, yeah. Clever. You're a shrewd one. All right.
So the passing waitstaff doesn't say anything, but there is a voice in your head. The prince is like, oh, wait, that's what you meant?
Hold on. I thought what we were going to do is we were going to go to Beebs, but we're going to just clean up a little.
That's a great idea. Yeah, let's just, we'll head over to Beebs and we'll solve the problem there.
Exactly, yeah. Because then we can get some food after and it'll be really nice.
As I think to myself, no Beeb, no problem. All right. No, I'm going to say that out loud, actually. I'm like, yeah, you're right. No Beeb, no problem.
Well, I mean, no. All right. No Beeb, no problem.
Excellent. We start sneaking a different direction.
Georg's still really confused about this whole sneaking thing. So he's like, tiptoe, 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 tiptoe.
All right. So we're going to exit the hotel. I'm going to remember that there's like this whole bird situation.
Yep.
And I'm going to turn to Georg and be like, all right, we can't go as ourselves. We'll get caught for sure. But we can go as anyone else.
What do you mean, go as someone else?
I mean, as anyone else. We can be anyone. That's like one of my magical tricks I can do.
Because like, I've only ever been one guy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And I'll shift to be the priest, completely change how I look.
Whoa, who are you?
It's still me.
I mean, I knew that. Yeah. Yeah.
Does your voice change?
Not magically, but I am like skilled at modifying my voice. So I can imitate voices pretty well. So my voice changes a little and my appearance changes a lot. And I'll be like, I can do it for you too. So if you could be anybody while we take care of Beeb, who would you be?
Anybody?
Yeah, you can do anything you want if you're wearing somebody else's face.
Like, I could be Eurekus.
How dare you?
You said I could be anybody. I could just be Eurekus.
Nobody could be Eurekus but Eurekus.
I can make you look like Eurekus on the outside. What's on the inside, that's still up to you.
Oh. I mean, I didn't want to be like Eurekus anyway.
How dare you?
which is more insulting?
Okay, but like I could be, I don't really know. Well, it was just like one guy from my neighborhood. He was super cool.
Okay.
And he would like sometimes come to my coffee shop and he always wear like a cool hat. And he would talk like, oh yeah, I'm a cool guy. I don't really know anything else about it. Could I just be him?
I will cast Major Image and do my best.
Based on that description?
Yep. Cool guy, cool hat. Well, I come up with something.
Jorg is just blown away right now.
We probably need like a mirror or something for you. Oh, but you have like a pocket mirror, right?
Jorg pulls out a way too ornate pocket mirror. And you definitely don't see some odd things happen in that mirror before it turns into just a normal mirror. You don't see anything.
I actually don't, because I am like intentionally averting my gaze from the mirror.
George, like, looking at the mirror, and he's kind of just looking at it like, oh, wow, this is, where'd my armor go? Am I still wearing? And I, like, poke at it.
It's all there. It's still heavy.
And it, does it jangle at all?
Uh-huh.
And it jangles, and I'm like, oh, wow, that's really impressive. I'm a lot thicker than the guy, but, like, I feel like I can make this work. I like the hat. Can I get one of these hats?
Only for a few hours at a time.
We can look into it later. We're not going to do anything like wrong or anything. This is just being a different person. Why am I being a different person?
No. We're going to go take care of... Are we going to have this whole conversation again?
We're going to take care of Beebs.
No, we're gonna kill Beeb.
What? No, why are we killing Beebs? Oh, I don't get it. I don't understand it all.
Don, I want to know how loud you yelled, we can't kill Beebs.
Oh.
What do we think this is? It seems like wisdom, maybe.
Well, that's better than most other things wisdom related. Well, this one's up to you. It's a straight 10.
So, with a 10, you start to raise your voice. Like, we can't look around a bit and catch yourself and realize that you're about to yell it.
So it comes out like, we can't kill Beebs. What's wrong with you?
You're right. Captain's pretty smart. They'll probably suspect us.
I mean, you know, among other reasons.
See, this is why I bring you along. You know, you and me, we're a great team together. All right. But we gotta do something.
I mean, we gotta take care of Beebs.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. As we head out the door in our new disguises, as I'm trying to think of what in the world we could possibly do to take care of Beebs.
Beebs is our best source of chow in this whole city.
Yeah. Obviously, we're going to take some of Beebs' food while we're, you know, or afterward or something. Yeah. I'm going to consult the prince. The prince usually has some pretty good ideas. Oh, prince, lord of darkness and chaos, I, your humble servant, need your help in building the mighty kingdom of darkness. We got this guy. I don't think we can kill him.
No, that probably does not fit in with my plans at the moment.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
Yeah.
I don't think we can turn him to evil either. We could try, but like...
He seems like the type to...
He seems like a narc. He's narked on us already a few times.
We mustn't risk my plans for far-reaching ultimate evil being revealed by someone of such...
Wait, I got an idea. What if we trick him into thinking that we're his friend by being nice to him and doing what he wants?
That's brilliant. That's one of the best ideas you've ever had. I knew that it was a good idea when I chose you.
What was the last thing that Rifford actually said out loud?
I said we can't kill Beeve. And you're like, oh yeah, we can't. And then you ask the prince, but I don't know that.
The illusions continue, and I am fully still doing the like dramatic half sneak down the street in broad daylight. We're fully heading toward Beeb's place. And like, we don't look like who we looked like before, but the birds may well still notice us because
you're bad at sneaking.
Because we're being silly. We're on a mission. This is what missions look like. Yeah, yeah. I'm like muttering to myself about how do we take care of, like, what do we do? And then, yeah, suddenly I have this epiphany and I turn to you and I'm like, I got it. We're going to do nice things for Beeb so that he thinks we're his friend.
Yeah, because then we get more food.
So now we two go as complete strangers, fully disguised for apparently no reason, and we help Beeb. We fix whatever we can fix. We try to be nice to him. That's the rest of, like, the next hour.
Okay.
Also, Georg tries to play off that he's a mysterious wizard. And
with a great hat.
With a great hat. And he uses mending as grandiosely as possible on basically everything that he can manage to use it on.
Okay. Are you guys discussing these plans before you get there?
No. We have to figure it out on the fly.
Okay.
Every time you, like, do a new thing with your disguise, it comes at a little delay as I'm trying to, like, keep up with you.
Excellent. Oh, wait. Okay, so I sort of noticed it. I rolled, like, a 23 on perception.
Wow.
So I notice it, and I'm like, oh, that's weird. It must be he's not so great at disguises after all. I better slow down. So I make all these grandiose gestures, but I do it, like, really slowly. So it kind of looks like you just like a really slow dance. And then I'll point at an object and let it sit there for a really long time. And then he'll fix it. And then I'll look at Beeb and go, look at that, it's fixed. But I'll try to do it all smooth. But I'll probably sound like that, but I'll be like thinking that I'm going, look at that. Shazam, it is fixed.
So
fixed.
Okay. So shall we say that we actually play out some of the arrival?
Sure.
So that we can see how Beeb feels about two random strangers showing up and cleaning up his shop. You arrive and there's a hastily written sign, a little banner thing. Closed today for remodeling, the sign says. And Beeb is there in a leather apron and gloves and working on some... You just picked the lock. You just opened the lock, right?
There was a whole thing where I was stealing keys from a guard for some reason.
Yeah. You stole the keys from the guard.
Which I still have.
Oh, great.
Are you just going to pull out the keys like you own the place?
Oh, here, let me get that for you. I have your key.
That's more of a Georg move than a Richard move.
So helpful am I.
So I guess there would be no reason that he would be like working on the door or anything like that because he didn't force it. It's not broken.
I don't think I damaged the door for sure. If I picked it, I did it well.
Mostly what you did was you left the stove on.
Yeah. And made a mess.
You made a mess and a bunch of like really gross food.
Yep.
So wait, like how much of the place burned down?
Well, let's find out.
Keeping in mind that we yelled about it moments later.
Yeah. I think that Beeb knows who it was that did it and was generally feeling maltreated by y'all. And so maybe made a bigger deal of the damage than...
So you're saying we have to break some things before we can fix them. Excellent. We can handle this.
You broke into his shop and made a mess and made bad food with his ingredients and then left the stove on. But I'd say he might have made it sound to the captain like the damage was considerably more expensive than that.
Well, there's probably something that's broken. I'm sure we can fix something. All right. So I'm going to approach as some random person.
Yeah. So what is the, you said the priest.
Oh, that was just as an example. I don't want to use up my priest on Beeb. Come on. Yeah, no, this will be just an amalgamation of like people I've seen lately.
Okay.
Let's go pink skin, white hair, trousers, black shirt, shoes. Nothing matches. Doesn't matter. Whatever.
So it's like literally an amalgamation. Okay.
Go up to Beeb and be like.
I think Beeb is painting. That's what Beeb is currently doing. Like painting the side of the stall.
Okay. I'll approach and give him like this flourishing bow of tremendous respect and say, are you by chance Master Beeb?
Just Beeb. Sorry, we're closed today. Doing some remodeling, but if you want to come back tomorrow, it should be a pretty good situation here.
Just Beeb. My name is Thavkazar, and this is my companion Thalucula. We are here to assist you in anything you may need.
It's really nice to meet you. I'm your Euculi.
Your Euculi is my companion.
Gyor is a title.
Yeah.
We can fix things. We can clean things. We are at your service. Just Beeb.
Do we have to call you Just Beeb? Is that like a title? Like Beeb the Just?
Well, I mean, are you selling something?
We are here simply to help you deal with this place, Beeb the Just.
Is there anything I can see that needs cleaning?
There's some tables, the tables out front, like.
All right, I'm going to start with prestidigitation. I'm going to just start magically cleaning. I'm done asking for permission.
Excellent. I hope you are noting your.
Oh, I keep casting spells. That's excellent. Okay, but prestidigitation. Oh, man, and my weirdness is very high right now. I am in danger zone.
So with your prestidigitation, go ahead and roll.
Okay, I rolled a 16. I'm still safe. I'm now up to 7.
So not quite 50-50, but we're getting there.
Yeah.
How loud is your prestidigitating? Like, do you make a show of it?
Yeah, I make it clear that I'm doing magic. I'm not like trying to hide that.
Okay.
But I'm just going to like, as if I just lost interest in what he was saying and I'm going to get to work. And I'm like, okay, here we go.
So Beeb turns around and looks over his shoulder, sees that you're cleaning the tables, and it's like, okay, yeah, feel free.
You mentioned remodeling. Is there anything that needs to be fixed, or would you just like a bit of a improvement on the place?
I've got to say, I'm feeling kind of weird about this, but I don't know. There's a little bit of fire damage in the kitchen area. Someone unauthorized used it, and it needs some cleaning up in there, if that's something that you can do.
A scoundrel. I mean, of course, yeah, I can fix it right up, I think. And don't you worry, the captain sent us.
Okay, roll, I guess that's true. So
roll truthfulness.
Yeah. Could I get a performance roll?
Yeah, you sure can get a 3.
Okay. When you mention the captain, despite the fact that you're telling the truth, Beeb is like, oh, okay. The captain sent you two? Are you part of the hotel staff or something?
We're just...
I'm going to cut in.
Perfect.
I'd also like you to roll a performance.
Happily.
One of us doesn't just have a -1.
But also, I'm going to start lying because why not?
Okay.
I'm going to spin a whole tale about how we're traveling monks who are sworn to commit selfless acts of service to all who we meet. And the captain has earned a deed of favor from us by sipping from the sacred pool, something like I'm just going to
go way more elaborate than it needs to be.
Yeah. The secret to a good lie is details. And I'm going to just spew details for 2 solid minutes.
Possibly with some scripture quoting and.
Yeah.
And then we came to the sacred pool whereupon we.
I guess roll deception.
Yes. Yeah. Does this count as pretending I'm someone besides myself?
So I think this is for the story and all of this. So this is, I would say no, unfortunately. It's not.
All right. I feel like I'm spending a lot of time pretending I'm not myself, and I've never got to use that ability. Okay.
Wait, don't you? No, you use it all the time.
I get advantage if I try to roll deception while pretending I'm someone I'm not. And since I don't have advantage, that is a natural one.
Oh, no.
Oh, wow.
Okay. I want to just say that Georg will be the one to ruin this for you. Like, as you keep talking, Georg's eyes just keep getting wider and wider. And then he's like, kind of in the middle of it where you start quoting scripture. Just ask, like, I'm sorry, we're from where?
Oh, you know what could happen too? You could walk out of the illusion if I'm not paying attention to you.
Yes. Like, after I ask, I'm like, you know what? Never mind. And then I just go over to, like, clean something.
As part of doing all this really in-depth lie, Rupert has slowly walked over to Beeb and is explaining all this stuff right there. And Georg has to go around to go into the shop. And so he's behind Rupert.
Just loses, gets caught up in things. And
yeah, so the illusion stops right when it's out of Rupert's field of view. Like, it just kind of hangs out there.
Yeah. Georg Uli is still here.
Just kind of like with a neutral expression as Georg just like very clearly walks by.
So Georg's just over there. He's like fitting a piece of sheet metal around the stovepipe that Beeb had mentioned was,
some fire damage.
Fire damage. And so he's just kind of molding a piece of sheet metal around it, taps a hammer on it a few times.
So Beeb has stopped looking at you, Rupert.
Uh-huh.
But since you rolled so poorly on deception, you just don't notice.
Yeah, I'm pontificating. I got to a really good part of the story. I'm real proud of this one. Yeah. We got to the three wishes coming out of the magic tiger. But then there was a secret fourth wish. Yeah, it's like we're going deep into the lore.
And Georg's just spitting this thing, and you can't see his face. Like, nobody, because he's kind of turned his back to the rest of the party. But he's just very confused.
But Georg is perhaps the most recognizable person in the world.
Quite possibly.
Yeah. You get to the climax of the story and you are expecting more of a reaction when you're like, and then we did the third wish. And Beeb just is not even hearing you. And I think you finally notice that and follow his gaze over and see Georg working in the kitchen.
Oh, no. I start panicking. What are my options?
I'm not there, so this conversation is a little bit awkward in terms of metagaming, but like, you have plenty of paths out of here.
I should kill him. No, wait, we can't kill him. We gotta run. No, wait, he already knows who we are.
Do you say any of this out loud?
Sure.
Georg's just like, run. If you're running anywhere, get me a couple of rivets. I'm gonna need about 30 for this.
With literally no idea what to do and having gotten clear instructions from his partner, who's like had a lot of good ideas so far, Rupert, team player, is going to go do that. He's like, all right, yeah, rivets, that'll solve this. And he's just going to run into the market, go buy some rivets.
What happens to the illusion? Is it just gone or?
It stays. Well, no, wait, it can't. It has to follow me. So it like runs after me as I go.
Excellent.
Listen, I expended a very expensive spell slot. Georg-Uli is my companion until this is over.
For the next duration.
Meanwhile, Georg doesn't realize any of this has happened and that he's not disillusioned or any of that. Also, he doesn't know what the hell that meant, really. I mean, he knows what an illusion is.
Do you still do like the slow, elaborate gestures when you repair things?
Absolutely. Anytime I repair something, I haven't realized that I'm not wearing a hat. So I kind of try to like tip it every once in a while and think that it's odd that like I can't touch it.
Yeah.
But you never could.
Yeah, I never could. But Rupert was really good at making the illusion move. So I kind of thought I could earlier. So every once in a while, you'll see me point at an object that I think is broken, that may or may not be actually broken. And I have these little things that kind of come out of my armor, and they're designed to like meld things back together. And sometimes it melds a thing back together that's supposed to be back together. And well, sometimes doesn't.
I'm thinking now that it might have been for the best that you weren't still inside the illusion when this was happening, because if there's this just dude standing there and these things like come out of him and go and fix a thing, like it would probably be more upsetting.
Richard probably would have just hidden them and then made the thing appear whole at the end of the whole process. But for me, yeah. No, it's really disturbing to look at, because it's like, you know, out of my wrist come like 8 additional arms.
Oh, heck no.
That have like a 2-foot reach, and they start like picking up an object and all of the pieces of the object and like fitting them back into place like a weird jigsaw puzzle. And then like, you know, some glue comes out of them and it just kind of holds them in place for a little bit and then places the object back where it was.
So Beep comes into the shop. So, you've always seemed like the good one of the lot.
I mean, yeah, I'm trying to fix whatever the hell happened here, really.
Yeah, like you didn't harass me for food or chase me down asking me what time it was open, and I don't think you lit my kitchen on fire.
No, why would I do that? I like your food.
And you didn't bring a giant cat to eat my food either. And
sure.
Now, I mean, hold on now. What's wrong with justice?
So shall we roll to figure out how long it takes until Georg realizes that it's Georg having this conversation?
Let it be never.
I mean, Georg doesn't really understand that he's not. But he's also not good at this and is going to mention names like Justice and then kind of realize that later.
Yeah. In his bed at night tomorrow, he'll figure it out.
Probably. But I don't know if we really need to roll for this. I'm comfortable with doesn't.
I love how much trust you have in the power of my illusion. Like, you'll just, any perceived misstep, the illusion's got it. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
I mean, I went from jangling around in armor to looking all suave.
Having a cool hat.
And what I thought was suave anyway, it was mostly the hat. Yeah. 80% of it had a cool hat.
So I'm assuming you're not really looking at Beep much. You're mostly focusing on the work.
Yeah. No, I'm still trying to, you know, get this thing in place. And it's like a wrap job. So you've got to get it all set up. You got to hammer it into place. And I still don't have any rivets because why would I?
Because Riffert's not back yet.
And I mean, I have them, but just like they're for my armor and I don't really want to part with them.
Those are good ones.
You don't want to use the good quality rivets on just a pipe.
So Beavis, like, so, you know, why do you hang out with them?
And then I completely forget that I am in an illusion. I mean, who? Eureka's? Riffert? I mean, Justice I get. Best cat that ever hated me. Really loves to roll around in coffee grounds. It's great.
Yeah, just the lot of them. You seem like a upstanding guy who appreciates good food. And you're pretty handy with whatever those arm things are.
Oh, yeah, these. And then if you want to go on it, like a 20-minute soliloquy of what my arms do, I will oblige.
Let's cut it there with Georg starting into that. And we can come back to that later.
15 minutes in.
So I used an alloy of bronze and steel on these. And I had to develop 8 of them because I found out that 6 wasn't actually enough
You don't actually have to do the 15
the
minutes.
The exact thing. Nope, you were going.
No. We are coming back them, later.
And it pincers in. And the pincers. I had to do an 8. No. Sorry, it ended up as a 10 joint design on each one of them. And
so
I think John actually designed Georg's armor.
Yeah, no, I believe that he did.
That's pretty impressive. So 15 minutes in, Thalcazar comes running up with a bag full of stolen rivets.
I got him. What else do you need? Oh, do you happen to grab any tape while you were out?
Okay.
Wait, no, don't run away. Get back over here. Oh, wait, Beebs was asking why we hang out. And I was just trying to tell Beebs that you were cool. And I didn't really know how to do it. I thought you could I don't know, tell Beebs that you're cool or something.
Oh, melt my heart. Look at Beebs and be like, I'm cool. But inside, I'm just like, I'm not crying, you're crying. So maybe my voice cracks a little bit. I'll be like, I'm cool.
Aww.
Very adorable.
That is pretty sweet.
You are cool-ish.
Okay, let's leave that there for now.
Yeah, don't go any further. You might go to his head.
Okay. Helena and Eurekus are following the birds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, we're about to. I wanted to have a quick conversation with the birds first.
I think they've already taken off.
Oh, they're following the birds.
Does anyone remember what the deal you came to with the birds? I forgot what state we left that in.
They would get in trouble or experience ungood sensations if they stopped following us, but there wasn't anything in the rules they were given about showing us where these people live, and keeping an eye on them might not be the worst idea.
Were they showing us to Tagok's house?
Yeah, Tagok's house.
Trying to remember why.
I think because you wanted to know where Tagok was. I think that was also one of the things that the other two were supposed to do, was find out from Beeb where Tagok lived.
Yeah, we were way more efficient.
Weren't we trying to convince the captain that, you know, hey, this crazy lady is sending birds, maybe so the sorceress is up to something, and Tagok didn't show up for work. Uh-oh, we better go find her and make sure she's safe and figure out what's up. Parentheses, maybe we're going to dump some of this stuff back on the daughter so that it doesn't look like we stole all of it.
Oh, yeah, we brought some of the stuff, right?
Yeah, I think we've got the mirror bags.
Oh, that's right. Your followers coming with you, some number of them?
Yeah, because they have mirror bags too. So, yeah, it would make sense that all of them would have joined us to give back the stuff.
Right. So you're heading southeast in a section that seems nice little setup of some not particularly fancy, but very serviceable houses. They seem like there's a group of like-minded folks decided to set up at that spot. You arrive at the house that is clearly Tagok's, at least as far as the birds are concerned. And with the sheer number of birds that has landed on the house, they're squawking a bit and hopping around and not being super quiet. The door opens up and Tagok's head sticks out from behind it. Looks up first. You just hear some swearing. You can't tell exactly what she's saying, but you can tell even from where you are the tone. This is definitely, this is Tagok swearing. And then she is about to close the door and then looks out and sees you two and is like, oh, you should probably come inside. Get away from the birds.
Okay, let's go inside. So I think I was about to caw and change into my bird costume. I'm so glad I didn't.
Yeah, nothing set Tagok at ease like showing up in feathers.
It's a giant bird.
As you guys get closer, she pulls her head back in. Looks like she's listening to something inside, and you can hear her like, I'm just going to leave the door open. You can come in and close it behind you. And then she disappears.
Okay. Well, definitely all of the followers come inside too.
Okay. How many were talking this time?
7, because of the 7 mirror bags.
Okay.
Yeah. I feel like there's been like an inner circle of 7. I don't remember how many there were originally.
It varies.
I mean, it grows.
And then it shrinks. And then it grows. And then it shrinks.
It doesn't shrink. They are going out to make more friends. So it might look like smaller numbers, but actually they're working.
There's a plan.
So, okay, you all file into Tagok's not very big house.
Oh, yeah. And one of my followers asked to use the restroom.
Okay, so you get inside and close the door behind you, and it's not a super big area. There's a hearth and some cooking stuff, and there's some cushions and a table for eating, and neither Tagok nor Teep is in the room.
Okay.
But you do hear some fumbling around.
I'm sure Tagok will be right back. I sit down, and one of my friends starts brushing my hair.
I think that while I'm waiting, I do my best to really take a look around this room.
It's pretty simple. There's the hearth and a few cabinets. Everything seems not run down, but worn, used. The floor is slotted, probably to let sand from outside spill through and help with cooling. One thing that you do notice is that all of the little trinkets that Tagok sells, there's none of that here.
Huh.
The door opens up and Tagok stumbles out of buttoning the shirt. Like, the buttonholes are not aligned. Like, there's an extra hole at the bottom and an extra button at the top. And she says, So, gotta look out for the birds. I was hoping that we would have a little bit more time before they started showing up, but it's, I think that she's back at her tower, and yeah, we need to figure out what to do, because I don't think sticking around here is the best plan for me and for Teep.
Well, if y'all want to go on a we're so glad that we're together and committed celebratory vacation, that seems like it would be relatively customary, and we could send you off with a bag of gifts and recommend some nice lodgings while we sort out the initial spider investigation.
Yeah, we have plenty of gifts.
Do you think that she'll keep her focus on here and not, you know?
She's pretty angry at us. I mean, obviously she is concerned for Teep's well-being. We'll be charitable and say that it's just looking out for well-being. But yeah, we're pretty sure that we're the ones that she has the vendetta with. So you might actually have a little period of time where you have less heat than you would expect.
Mm-hmm.
But you do think it's a good idea for me to get out of here, right?
Well, let's be honest. I think this sorceress is powerful enough that even if you go on vacation in some other city, she's got some bird somewhere that can probably follow you. So truly escaping her vision, probably not. But if she was the kind of person who wanted to show up and just kill us all, I think that would have happened by now. So far, so good.
And we could try talking to the birds on your behalf if you want.
Talking to the birds?
Yeah, they've been surprisingly friendly.
What?
If you ignore the devious looks and get to know their heart and their soul, they're actually not too bad.
Okay.
It's basically like if there's normal people who are pressed into service of like building castles or things they wouldn't ordinarily do, and it doesn't make them bad people. They just know that if they don't do it, the ruler might cut their head off, right? And as far as we can tell, that's what's going on with these birds. They're just regular, ordinary birds going about their life, and every now and then the sorceress kind of forces them to spend their day doing something they otherwise wouldn't want to do.
Okay. As you're talking, Teep comes out. She's looking much more put together than Tagok is, in a nice practical gown, and is brushing her hair.
Teep, if you want help brushing your hair, one of my friends will do that for you.
She has people for that.
Oh, okay. And one of your followers goes over and starts brushing her hair for her.
Nice. So someone's brushing my hair and someone else is brushing Teep's hair. This is great.
Tagok says, well, okay, I'm glad everybody's getting their hair taken care of. So, yeah, babe, I think they had this idea of going on vacation. And I think that seems like a good plan. I hate to be avoidant of your mom, but, and Teep makes a dismissive gesture and is like, No, that's okay. She's a bit much. So I don't know. Like, I haven't ever gone on the run before. Should we tell you where we're going, or should we not tell you where we're going?
Oh, definitely tell us.
Okay. Yeah. So so that you can come help if I need it.
Exactly.
Okay. That seems fine. So yeah. Where have you always wanted to go? Huh. I think Cloyle.
Cloyle.
Yes, I know.
Uh-huh.
She doesn't.
Cloyle is great.
Oh, I give up.
Good, because you're not there.
So yeah, I've always wanted to go to Cloyle. We could probably go south down to the road first instead of starting out going east back towards my mom's tower is probably not the best place to be heading. But if we head down to the road first, it should be mostly fine.
I have a couple of practical questions. The first is, does everything fit in one mirror bag? Because I don't know that I want to give them all seven of our mirror bags. And I don't know that I want to be like dumping out and consolidating contents right now.
Yeah, that's true. And, oh, maybe we can make it look like we gave them stuff. Maybe the birds could see us taking the stuff out of the mirror bags, and then they can report to the sorceress, oh, they gave it all back, but we don't actually do it.
If we get caught with all of this stuff at some later time, it's not going to work out very well for us. So I think we need to give all or at least most of it back. The question is, how do we do that without Tagak and T freaking out when we dump the contents of her mom's castle out on this living room floor?
Because of the emotional response they might have, or because they're like, that's a lot of stuff to bring?
Both? Do you think that you could have your followers prepare the gift bag and just try to shove all of it into one bag? Like outside?
Yeah, I think outside is great because then the birds will see it. So, yes. Friends, okay. My hair looks beautiful. Teep's hair is gorgeous. Please put all the contents of your mirror bags into one bag. Outside.
Other practical question. I'm asking you this player to player, not, I'm not saying it out loud in game. We don't know about the hot rocks. Are we about to give Tagak and Teep a bunch of hot rocks?
Oh, right.
Oh, this is going to be great.
Since we don't know about it, I don't know that there's anything that we could really do in this moment. But I don't feel good.
I feel good.
I just like the idea of Eureka's followers putting a bunch of random rocks. They're just like, I don't know what these are for. Better put them in the bag.
There's also that nasty crown, right?
Oh, yeah. The buff crown.
So did you put that back? Did you bring that back along as well?
Yeah, we shoved all of it back in the bag when the captain was knocking on the door.
What about the rings that everybody took?
So I don't remember if anybody designated that they were wearing them versus putting them in the bag. Honestly, I don't even remember what all the rings were.
People put on rings before, and I think you've maybe probably just been wearing them since. If you'd like to roll, I would say this is probably a perception to see if you remember that you're wearing the rings. You can do that, or you can just let it go.
You know what? I like the there's been such a rush that I intended to be as lawful as possible after my grievous error the other night. But caught up in the rush, I failed to remember that I was literally wearing some of the loots. and since I really don't remember, it could be kind of a fun surprise for later me when you tell me what rings I have.
So yeah, the followers head outside.
Well, okay, maybe I'm mad and I secretly tell the followers, actually, don't, because we don't want to upset them with the gifts of their mom. And they don't seem that interested anyway. It more sounds like they just want to get away.
Wait. Are you saying that to your followers such that I can hear, or do I think we gave all the stuff back?
Yeah, you can hear.
That puts me in a pickle. I pull you aside and I'm like, what are you doing?
But we worked so hard and they don't want it.
We didn't, though. We didn't work hard.
We wanted it really badly and they don't care. Maybe we should let them start a new life.
The one lawful person in a group full of chaos.
I'm trying really hard to not have Tagak and Teep in this tiny room hear every freaking word that I'm saying. So I'm trying to like space my words out, maybe use some gestures like, not about them, about not caught stuff.
And I'm just going, caw, caw. So they think it's the birds?
I hold up my fingers and I raise up three of them. I say, pick three, give the rest back as a gift. Be generous. Open your freaking heart.
You know what? I would be willing to part with my beautiful dress as one of the gifts that I'm wearing right now, made out of the sheets.
You just know it's because you wore the dress once, so now why bother anymore?
Everyone's already seen me in it.
I'm like, this is not gonna work if we keep most of the good.
Oh, Georg, you really should have stuck with Helena. She needs you.
I really shouldn't have gone with you.
Yeah, I really expected you to rein Ruford in, and boy, was I wrong.
Well, okay, what if it was my dress and my mirror bag, and maybe your mirror bag?
Well, see, the thing is, all of... God, again, like, they are right there.
Caw! Oh, did you see that? I'm going to report that to the sorceress. God.
I'm like, look, could you please get to know as much as you can about these fine lovebirds, their hopes, their dreams, their plans, etc. And I will go outside and make sure that our gifts are adequate.
Okay, will do. Do you want me to change first?
I think the dress you're wearing now is lovely.
Okay. All right, I'll talk to the birds. You go outside.
Wait, the birds or the tagax?
The lovebirds.
As opposed to our friend birds.
I'll talk to Tagok.
Tanem, do you want to split the split party and do Harmony first, or do you want to do me in the bags first?
We can slowly keep splitting the party until it's just the end, everyone's alone. Is there anything that you would like to do in individual scenes about that?
So I want to go outside with all the followers, watch them dump the bags, watch them put the stuff into one bag, and then that actually gives me an opportunity to be like, what the hell are those rocks?
Ah, I see. You're metagaming. Okay.
Well, no. In game, realistically, getting Eurekus away from these followers and not tempted to keep half of the loot that we are trying to give back is a fair and reasonable thing to do.
DM lets players metagame. Chaos ensues.
One lawful cannot counter many chaos.
Oh, but two chaos can make a lot of chaos.
I should have just put my foot down in the castle. I made a bad character choice. I got so swept up in how funny it was that we were being hobo robbers.
Yeah, Georg feels the same way.
Helen and I should have been wagging a finger that whole time.
Georg just wanted to sell coffee and make good armor and maybe be a coffee and blacksmith shop someday.
But hobo robbers is so fun, though.
Okay.
I feel like we've gotten far from our ideals.
If Tanem thinks that the rock thing is too metagamey, I'm sure that he can hand wave and be like, yep, you see a pile of stuff. You see a pile of stuff, I'll end up in one bag. And then, aw, shucks, I didn't see the rocks. Or maybe I roll for it or something.
You definitely see the rocks. It's just in there with the things that the followers have in their mirror bags. Kind of a pile of crap. Not all of which you were paying super close attention to them putting in the first place. Mm-hmm. So the question is, do you pay attention to the rocks and wonder about them and delay this action that you are trying to make happen quickly?
Yeah, if you're like, oh yeah, you see them. I think it's more, if I just see a whole pile of junk and I see rocks in that pile of junk, probably I wouldn't take any action. So the question is, am I getting that vibe from them?
Yeah, actually, that's a good point. Let me look through my notes here.
So do these hot rocks look significantly different from normal rock? Like how?
Not particularly.
How ore-ish are these rocks? Because if they're true ore, they're going to have crystalline structures. But if they're just like low content rocks, they're going to maybe look a little bit greener or bluer or purpler, depending on the type of hot rock.
Okay. So what you're saying is like they may or may not look interesting.
They might really not look interesting. They might just look like, who the hell put these rocks in here? We could throw those out. Or not noticeable. Or, hey, that's some cool green structures on that rock. That looks like kind of like a salt structure, but more green.
That's a really interesting point. Normally I don't like chaos, you know, flip a coin type stuff, but I think it would be sort of funny if there was a die roll for like, you know, oh, clearly this belongs to her and she's going to want it back, stick it back in, definitely, versus I'm getting a bad vibe off of this, I'm starting to feel sick, versus first bed sheets, then they're just picking up random rocks, damn it, and kicking him away. These all seem reasonable.
Maybe they thought these normal-looking rocks were really interesting. That's weird.
Tell you what, you listed three things. How about you roll a 1d12?
Okay. 8.
Okay, so that would be the second thing you said, which is...
I think my second one was, oh, these are making me feel sick.
Yeah, okay. That's what happened. They dump out the rocks, and as soon as they do, especially as soon as they come out of the mirror bag, you're paying very close attention to the ground where all the stuff is coming out because you're planning on noting everything that is there. And As soon as the rocks fall out, the ground distorts a bit. It's like a mirage, but just briefly. And suddenly your stomach lurches a bit. You don't fall over, but you feel dizzy for a second.
Can I roll medicine on myself? Is that a thing?
Sure.
Ooh, that's a nat 20 plus 4.
Nice. That feeling is consistent with being poisoned. Although it's gone now.
Did the rocks get pushed away or?
No, they're still there. It was just that it was momentary. It was very correlated with them falling out. So there's this, you know that there is something weird about those rocks.
I say to the followers, everything into one bag, please. Please stay away from those rocks. They've been known to make people sick and your health is of utmost importance.
Followers look a little bit confused, but listen to what you say. So the golden dinner plates, a bunch of books, like a serious lot of books come out of the back.
I think the books are my fault, and I'm really tempted to keep one, but nope. If I'm making Eurekus give her stuff back.
And the tiara and the various cushions and stuff from the bed, they pack it all up and with no further instructions, head back inside.
I feel bad that I'm not doing something about the cursed tiara, but I don't think I know it's cursed.
Nope, you don't.
As they're heading back in, I say, please present the gift bag to the happy couple.
Okay.
I'm not sure what to do about these rocks. Do I have something that could mark the spot? Oh, hey, I have chalk. I'm going to make just like a chalk circle around them so that if I want to come back after I think about it, I can find them easier.
Okay.
I don't want to get too close to them, though, so a big circle.
Okay, it's sandy dirt or a dirty sand. Like, it's not paved over here.
Yeah, I'm worried if I don't mark it, it's just going to be, you know, yep, there's rocks. Well, what do I got that I might be willing to give up?
They took their own mirror bags, but so I'll say that they left Eurekus's mirror bag out here on the ground.
I'm pretty sure we took Yorg's mirror, but like we took all the mirror bags that were available to us.
Okay, so yours is the one that ended up with all the stuff in it. Yorg's and Eurekus's are out here.
Oh man, are you telling me that my plan means I'm short a mirror bag? That sucks, but okay. Wait, we didn't accidentally just give away some of Eurekus's gear, correct? If we had them dump all the bags, did we check for that?
I think y'all put it into your packs.
I'm pretty sure Yorg packed Eurekus's pack in the first place when we first went out on the adventures from Northbridge. So there's probably a lot of stuff like rope and pitons that Eurekus maybe doesn't actually know what they are.
For me, my stuff is in the mirror bag, all the heavy stuff, because I've got low strength.
My stuff is in the mirror bag because I'm wearing 30,000 pounds of armor.
Okay, so that complicates the whole situation. How did you know which things to...
Say that back at the... This is retconning a bit, and we probably should have handled this while the captain was knocking at the door. But can we say that in that panic, shove it all in the bags, shove it all in the bags, that we left our own shit on the floor in a mess in the hotel?
I don't know. I feel like it's funnier if Yorg doesn't have any spare clothes or anything. I feel like if we're going to do that, maybe people roll a thing or something, because it's fine if we just are missing stuff and don't realize it and we screwed up. Like, I feel like that's a great thing to happen, as in it's a terrible thing to happen.
So you're commando under the armor?
I mean, Georg has one pair of underwear now. It's not great.
No, you know what? Like, just as a practical matter, I am standing right there.
Exactly.
There is no way that I am going to let them give back my abacus or my mug of feather fall that I specially earned from my former employer or my freaking herbalism kit.
And you probably recognize all of our chocolate fountains because they look a lot like that. So we'll all get a bag back with at least one chocolate fountain.
Yeah. So like if there's something that's obviously yours, then I think it's fair that in the moment I was like, oh, not those rocks. Oh, also not my special world's greatest coffee delivery woman, Mother Featherfall. But there might be like, yeah, Yorg is down a pair of underpants.
Because obviously that belonged to the first
person. We took her sheath.
But we gave back my underwear.
I also kind of like Eureka's having a right to be mad at me to complicate the whole she owes me money thing.
Rufert was just ahead of his time when he dumped out all of his stuff in her bedroom.
It's all in Georg's mirror bag, so it's probably gone now. You're going to find like 500 pitons and be like, what the fuck was the sorceress doing with these?
Okay, for anything that is not a special to you item, from now on, straight up and down, you'll roll a 1d4 or something, and 1 and 2, you don't have it anymore.
I really love this because, like, we're not even going to notice. There's no weight difference in the bags. They're mirror bags. Of course, you're not going to notice any difference. So we're just going to be like, yeah, I have all my stuff like normal.
Yep, this is excellent.
Not knowing that Eureka's happened and Helena helped.
You wish you didn't know that Eureka's happened.
The only person I trust now is Justice.
Well, to be fair, Justice wouldn't have taken it in the first place.
Is Justice hanging back at the hotel, or is she like sleeping on Tagok's floor right now?
Oh yeah, we didn't settle that. I assume she would come. I think she's outside with me.
She's sitting off in the thing as far as she can get from the rocks.
I don't know. Yeah. I feel like she should have to roll a die to see if Justice is at the local meat sellers.
She's definitely eyeing the birds.
Yeah, I was just thinking that.
And they are eyeing her back.
So do we want to do Eureka's talking to Tagok and Teep and mind scraping them or whatever fun thing that she wanted to do with that scene? Or do we want to start with that next time?
Yeah, it's getting late. I gotta run. Sorry, everybody.
No problem. I am happy with this as a spot to leave it with all of your stuff in future uncertainty. This is excellent.
I guess I'll go back to my research.
Oh, I'm sorry, Rosafold.
Oh, I just have to do cool research. I'm so disappointed.
It was cool the first 3 postdocs.
You must not like your research very much.
Let's just say no.
Damn. Wow. Oh, I'm sorry. I assumed all of us were into the thing and just didn't like students.
This episode featured Chelsea Burns as Harmony as Eureka's.
You feel which one is the 20 and then you rub it just the right way.
Find her on Instagram at Chelsea Comedy. Chris Grumbles as Dawn as Georg.
Get some shivs in there. Shim, not shiv.
Find him on Instagram at Chris Grumbles. Desiree Fair as Rosafine as Helena and Justice.
You probably don't want to make a habit of trying to shoot them all out of the sky.
Silas Silver as Vafras, as Callum as Rufert.
You can do anything you want if you're wearing somebody else's face.
Check out his RPG at readysetroll.org. Mark E. Fair as Tanem the DM.
Thank you for converting that scene from possibly usable to not at all.
Find him at markefair.com. And me, Damian Lichtenstein, as the intern. Find me on Instagram at thatdamnlich. Thank you for listening to Coffee, Cults, and Empires, edited by Mark and Desiree. Music by Kevin Vitzwong. Hear more music at kevinvitzwong.bandcamp.com. Character art and logo design by Carmanda. Find her at carmandaartsthings.com. Sensitivity Consulting by Dominique Dickey. Find links to more of their work, including fiction and game design, at dominiquedickey.com. Support us on Patreon for access to outtakes, world building, and more. Find all these links in the episode notes or at coffeecultsandempires.com, where you can also find transcripts, art, actor and character bios, and more. That's coffeecultsandempires.com.
Rufert couldn't rein me in.